And turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Again, Solomon is the writer of this book. He's also the writer of Proverbs. And they're really, if you look at these two books, they're completely different. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's written earlier in his life. Ecclesiastes is written later in his life. And of course, the word Ecclesiastes means the preacher. And Solomon had lived a life, and he had investigated things in his life. And he found, as he made the statement in verse 15 of chapter 1, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, that which is wanting cannot be numbered. And so he realized that these things were difficult. And then in verse 18, and that's where we're going to camp a little bit today, he said, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." So he's talking about the wisdom that he had, and this is wisdom apart from God. Later in his life, he did not follow God. He did not look to God and trust him. And he had been given wisdom. God gave him that. That was what he asked for as a young man when he went to God, and God asked him, "What would you want?" And he said, "I want wisdom so I could rule the people well." And God gave him that wisdom. And we see the product of that in the book of Proverbs when you read through there. But here later in his life, because of the many failings that he had, the wives, the horses, the wealth, and all that came into his life, he had turned from God and turned to idols. And he no longer worshiped the living God. And so he found himself in a place where everything was vanity. It was all empty. And he said in verse 18 again, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your word this morning. As we look at this for just a few moments, again, reminding us how important it is to get wisdom and what that really means. And Father, help us to understand knowledge is only as good as it is true. And Father, we just thank you for what you might do and how you might teach us today through your word. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dr. Vance Havner told a story about traveling on a bus through the mountains of North Carolina with his wife. And the bus stopped and they got off. And it's like in a mountain situation. And they went in and got them a drink. And when they got back on the bus, his wife said unto her husband, "I don't think these folks in that store really know what is going on in the rest of the world." And Dr. Havner replied to her was, "Well, for goodness sakes, don't tell them." Sometimes we don't need to know everything that's going on in the world. And so the more you know, the more you're responsible for when it comes to knowledge, for sure. And one of the burdens we bear is the knowledge we have. And the Bible teaches us that we're going to give an account for those things, the places that are the things that we've learned and the positions that we are in. We're going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account for those things. And Solomon said the more he knew, the more he was grieved. And I'd heard a story about a family that had taken a trip one time, and while they were away, one of the family members died. And someone said, "We need to let so-and-so know they were on vacation." And they said, "No, let's don't do that, because if we tell them, then that'll ruin their vacation." So they waited until they came back, and there was time to do so. So they at least enjoyed their vacation and came back and found out about the situation. And it's true, when we know something like that, it grieves us, it hurts us, and it's hard for us to think about other things. And we've all been in those situations where someone has been sick, or someone's passed on, or something's going on somewhere else, and it's been hard to not think about it and be stuck on that very thing. One thing I want to remind you, though, is that God knows. No matter who we are concerned about, God knows more about the situation than we do. And so if we put it in His hands, that's the best place for it, because he can do things that we cannot. And that's always part of the wisdom that God wants to teach us. In 2 Timothy 3:7, we see the conclusion that God gives to our world apart from him. He says, men are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that is true today. Education is one of the high platforms of our society. Let's get educated so we can make more money. And right now, as you probably have heard, the women's movement that marched, I guess, yesterday, the leader of that said, this is about women's rights and women getting this and women getting that and basically equal pay, all those type of things. And they're fighting for those things. Although the signs didn't say that. The sign said, down with Trump. Basically, it was a thing against Trump, I guess. And they feel like that he's not doing them right. And it's interesting, but most people don't even know what Trump is doing. They just hear what the media says he's doing. And based on what they hear, they make their decision. Because they do studies all the time. People go out and ask people, says, do you like Trump? No. And then they say, well, if Bernie Sanders would do this and do this and do this, would you be in agreement with that? Oh, yeah. And they turn around and say, well, that's exactly what Trump has done. See, they have no idea. And that's where our society is today. There's a lot of people that don't have the knowledge of the truth. You know, knowledge is one thing, but without truth, it's not true. And you can hear anything. You can find any truth you want if you just look hard enough. You can get on the internet, you can find anything, you can find things that contradict each other, and whoever's giving you that information, as far as they're concerned, it's the truth. Oprah Winfrey, and I think I mentioned this before, she made this statement at this global thing about women need to speak their truth to the power to men. And what she said, what I caught was, their truth. What is their truth? In other words, every individual has their own truth. That is not true in the sense that the truth is the truth is the truth. If I tell you something, and I'm really running the rabbit trail right now, but if I tell you something like, when I grew up, my parents separated. My mom, she used to beat me. And my mom was such a wicked woman. She worked all the time, never was home, never took care of me, never did anything for me. And said, well, that's my truth. That's what I understand. But is that really the truth? Well, then you'd ask my mom. And she would tell you, well, I had to work to bring in the food. And yes, my son was a lazy bum and he didn't do anything. He needed a whooping every now and then. And so her truth would be a little different, but her truth would be more accurate in this case, because my truth is not necessarily true. The truth is a truth is a truth, and God knows that. And that's what we are seeking here as Christians, is to know the truth and what the truth is so we can apply it in our lives. If we don't have the truth, then we'll never be able to apply it. And applying truth is wisdom. When we apply and get God's wisdom, we're applying God's word and the truth. And that's what we want to do. So here, Solomon has come to the end of his life, and he's looking back on what he has done and how he's lived, and he's grieved over these things. He's sorrowful over these things because he didn't live them in the light of God's word. He lived them apart from God. And I personally believe every human being that comes to the end of their life and has lived a life apart from God is going to feel just like he did. It's all vanity. It was all a waste. No matter how they lived, no matter what they had, it wasn't worth it. You know, there's an old statement that who you know is more important than what we know. And we used to joke about that years ago when I was working at Corning, because, you know, you think, well, what you know is important. But the fact of the matter is, something I learned along the way is that who you know is really more important. Now, the jobs I got early in my life, I got because my mom knew the plant manager, well, it was actually her cousin of the company, and she put in a good word, and so they called me up and says, come on in, we'll interview you. And they gave me a job. And so it was because I knew somebody, I actually got the job. Not based on how smart I was or whatever. Now, I had a resume and I had done some worked in radar and stuff like that, but that was a plus. But more importantly, to get my foot in the door, my mom made that call. And so it was really who I knew. I saw this firsthand when our company started laying off people. We just diversified. Corning just diversified. They bought plants in Mexico, Canada, I think in Australia. They bought Siemens out in Germany that did the cable stuff that we were doing. And so they diversified and bought all these plants. And when they did, our plant was downsizing because of all this. And so they came to the engineers and the technicians, and they met with them and says, we're downsizing. Every single manager has to turn in a name of someone to get rid of. And we're giving you the opportunity. It doesn't matter who you are, what job you do. If you would like to take a severance package and go ahead and quit, we'll do that. Now, there were some older guys who did. I happened to be wanting to go finish up my Bible college. I had 1 year left. So I took that and said, yes, I'm going to quit. And they paid me out my money so I could survive for a year, basically. But the point I'm making is there are a lot of people who didn't want to quit. And I remember one fellow who worked on the jacket line who was a very good engineer, but he didn't get along with his boss. Him and his boss clashed all the time. We were in meetings and they would fight. And Steve would always make a joke about the guy that was working for him when he wasn't around. And Steve was just a he was a bum, if you ask me. But anyway, he didn't like the guy. And so he put him on the list to get rid of. And as I left the company, they threw me a party. I actually preached that last party. All those engineers and technicians, they said, threw me a going-away party. I just stood up and said, look, I want to share something with you. And I shared the gospel with him. But this guy, they came and got him with a guard. And Steve told the guard, watch out. Make sure he doesn't steal anything. And I met up with him years later, and he was still bitter over that whole experience. But it had to do with really getting along with his boss. If he got along with his boss, he probably would have been able to stay. But because they didn't get along, they got rid of him. So it's important to get along with people. It's important not to, you think, well, I know everything. I can do this and do that. Well, people will sacrifice that for someone they can get along with, someone who will listen to them, someone who will follow instructions and not always be in their face. And it is important. But not only is it important in the world we live in, but more important, it's true spiritually. Who you know is more important than what you know. You can know the Bible inside and out. You can go to church every time the doors are open. You can give all the money in the offering plate that you can muster up. You can do everything in the world to try to please God. But if you don't know Him, you can't please Him. You have to be born again. You have to know and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That is really what opens the door to true knowledge. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom instruction. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2 for a second. Colossians chapter 2. Just to remind us just for a second about our Lord and how important it is. Colossians chapter 2. It's in the Bible. You can find it. Colossians chapter 2. I want you to look at verse 1. This is where I'm going to start reading. Colossians chapter 2. And Paul is writing here to the church at Colossae to just encourage them in these things. He says, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. He's just writing, says, for those who haven't seen me or never met me, I'm writing to those folks. He says, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of the Christ. Now, the mystery of God is salvation. That's what that's talking about. He says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's talking about the relationship with Christ. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you and entice with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. He's saying, you want wisdom, you want understanding, you want to know the truth, you have to have the relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's where it all begins. Today, most people are in pursuit of knowledge. They think that knowledge is so important. I remember my father telling me years ago, as I was heading into the Navy and then on to college later on, he said, son, that's good. He said, that's one thing nobody can ever take away from you is the knowledge that you get in the Navy and in school going to college. He said, that's important and you'll have that the rest of your life. But it's funny how short your life is. I have forgotten so much that I actually sat in class and learned at one time that it would be difficult for me to go back to some of those things. I would have to probably go back to school and relearn them because I've forgotten so much. You don't hang on to what you don't use. It just doesn't happen. My brother-in-law was at the house this year, and Donnie, he's about, I guess, 6 years older than me, and or maybe he's 8 years older than me, 10 years older than Jamie. But anyway, we were talking and stuff. He's been an electrician all his life. He's a smart fella. He could fix anything. And we were just talking, and he started talking about a motor or something. And all of a sudden, he just says, you know what? I can't even remember how to do this. I've done this all my life, and I can't even remember how to do this. He says, it's funny how much you lose over time because you don't use it. And you know, that's true. And everybody in this room that's a little bit older, you young folks, you probably still hang on to everything. But us older folks, we're losing some things. We have to go back and think about them and go back and check them out. And it's amazing because you can't hang on to it all your life unless you do something about it, and that is use it. That's why it's important to read the Bible over and over and over and over again. You think as a young person, I read it, I got it. I'll tell you something, there's so much in there, you'll never get it all first off. But if you don't keep reading it, you're going to come to a point where you'll forget it. And when you forget it, you will not practice it. You will not apply the wisdom of God's Word in your life and make choices based on what God has to say instead of what you think. In Psalm 42:1 it says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And that's where we need to be, is to continually seek the Lord. You know, God said, those that seek me early shall find me. And that's what we want to do, is seek him so we can find him and know him. And it's a concentration that we want to be directed by God, because he will guide us. Isaiah 58:11 says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. In other words, he's going to be there for you. Spiritually speaking, he's going to satisfy you. He's going to put you in that place of that peace that passeth all understanding. Even though when you look at the news and you see what's going on in our country, you don't have to be distressed about that, because the God in heaven knows all about that, and he can make you and your soul fat in the times of drought. And I'm talking spiritually. He gives us wisdom. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He will sustain us. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, he doesn't do that. Yes, he does. Now, he gives you a free will. You can take and spend what God supplies to you any way you want to. And if you happen to make poor decisions and you're not wise, It's not God that didn't supply. It was you who was foolish with the money God gave you, or the substance or the things he gave you. He will protect us. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. I don't know how many times I had to call on God for strength to get me going again and to help me, to give me that vision. He's our shepherd. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. That's why we're led in the path of righteousness, for him. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. David understood, because he had that relationship with God. It's the same relationship that we want with God. Sometimes God uses the sorrow of knowledge to bring us to Jesus Christ. We get to the point of being weighted down. We get all this knowledge that the world has to offer, and we realize, like Solomon did at the end of his life, all is empty. What good is this? What does this mean? Is there anything else? Am I just going to die and be put in the ground and the worms eat me up? That's all there is? And sometimes it brings people to the bottom, where they actually look up and they can see a holy God. Someone that is there for them, waiting for them. I remember years ago, I met a guy. He lived in North Carolina in the country. We always call it the country. That's where my grandpa lived, out in the country. It was about 10 miles or so from where we lived in the city. And we always go to the country on Sundays and weekends a lot of times. But anyway, there was a guy that lived out there, and I met him at a little bitty gas station, real small place, run down, been there for years. And we were in there, and I was in there with my uncle. And he was talking to this fella, and this fella had a doctorate, PhD. He had long hair, unshaven. He was barefoot. It was summertime. And he had his coveralls on. He was sitting in this gas station. He'd been to college all his life. But he didn't have a job. He didn't really want a job. If you talk to him, he was sort of like a professional student. He got all this knowledge, I guess he got it, I don't know, but he didn't do anything with it. Wisdom is applying knowledge. This was a person who was very unwise. He was wasting his life, and he wasted a lot of money going to college as well. And we know the Bible tells us that this knowledge is not always the greatest thing. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. In other words, we understand about this. But then he goes on and says, knowledge puffeth up, and charity edifieth. You know, it's funny how people get knowledge and all of a sudden they think that they know so much that they ought to be somebody. Today we see people marching and thinking that they ought to be somebody because they have some knowledge. People ought to get a perspective of who they really are. They deserve nothing. None of us do. It's only by the grace of God we have what we have. And if we look to Him, He'll make a difference in our lives. Otherwise, we're going to come away empty and realize that all is vanity. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for a second. Again, this talks about wisdom, and wisdom is important. And again, I looked up the word wisdom in the Strong's Concordance, and basically it said that wisdom is applying the godly knowledge that we have. It's understanding how to use what God has given to us. And that's why wisdom is so important, is so that we do understand. Because you can have the knowledge of the Bible and not apply it correctly. And God wants us to know exactly what He wants for us. Let's see here. Let's start at verse 4. It says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." Again, this is Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. "But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Who keeps us? We're kept by the power of God, it tells us in 1 Peter. A lot of people have a problem with that. They think you can lose your salvation. That's not wisdom. That's foolishness. Because they do not understand God. In other words, if Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood and he can't keep me, then where's the power at? The power resides in me in keeping the word of God? Well, you know what? I can't do it. And I'm going to fail. Because I can't do it in my power. Verse 5, he says, "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, verse 6, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that have come to naught," because their wisdom is useless, "but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Again, the wisdom of the cross and what Jesus Christ has done, talking about salvation. That's the mystery. "Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Again, that's the Old Testament writing, but look what Paul says in verse 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by a Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." So when you have the Spirit of God in your life, these things are no longer hidden. These things are actually revealed to us. And we have the very words of God that opens our eyes and gives us understanding and helps us to apply wisdom. Verse 11 says, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." He's just saying that as man knows what man would do, because that's the spirit we have in us, he says, people cannot know the things of God without the Spirit of God. Verse 12, he says, "Now we," and he's talking to Christians here, "have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." He says, we don't listen to what man has to teach us apart from the Word of God. In other words, if it's contrary to God's Word, it's not truth. And that's the wisdom that God gives us by the Spirit of God. As we study the Bible, we learn those things so we are prepared when someone comes up and says something to realize whether they are speaking truth or not. In verse 14, he goes on and he says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." We cannot expect the unsaved, lost person to understand the things of God. He cannot, nor will he. You know, it's amazing. I used to try to witness to somebody, and you go through the Bible, and you go through everything you can think of, and you're just bombarding them with things that are in the Bible and trying to lead them to Christ and give them understanding. It's not a one-time sit-down talk. It's many times. For instance, my mother, it was years of speaking to my mother and sharing different things in the Bible. Now, she heard the Word of God, which is important. But she had no concept of that. I remember sharing with her years ago, prior to that, her salvation. I gave her a tract with a little girl on it, says, "We're all sinners." She looked at the tract, she put it on the table and says, "I'm not a sinner." And I thought, where'd that come from? And she said, "Bruce, when I was a little girl, I got baptized." So in her mind, her baptism was something that took care of her sins. Now, if you listened to her when she opened her mouth, there'd be no question that she was a sinner. She didn't talk like anybody that would know Christ at all. In fact, she would use his name in vain. But years later, she did come to the knowledge and understanding. So the natural man cannot understand these things, And the Bible says, for they are foolishness unto him. So when you witness to somebody who's lost, expect them to think this way. Because they are, that's their nature. It's foolishness unto them. Neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. They need the Spirit of God in them. How do they get the Spirit of God? I believe the first message that a lost person clearly understands is the message that he's a sinner, he's lost, Jesus Christ died on the cross for his sins, and he puts his faith and trust in Jesus. And when that occurs, then the Spirit of God that lives in him will open up the things of the Word of God to him. That's why he will change. And he will change to conform like Christ is when he's obedient to the Word of God, because of the Spirit God that is in him. So it's important. Wisdom is important, but wisdom only comes by way of Jesus Christ. And it only comes by following God. And that's what Solomon has basically taught us when he's teaching us about these things in the book of Ecclesiastes. He's just teaching us that apart from Christ, apart from God, everything's useless. Life is a waste. The things I know are not important. The wisdom that I have is not anything but something that causes me grief. But when you have the wisdom of God, that's a different story. And so that's something that we all want to strive for, is to get the wisdom of God. Just going to read one more passage. We're going to close. As we mentioned, wisdom without God is grief. Knowledge brings sorrow. But godly wisdom is something that God will honor. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. And again, this is a book that Solomon, the very guy that has said everything is empty, has written. And he wrote this earlier in life. But I want you to listen to his words and listen to what he has to say. We're going to read about 13 verses here. In verse 1 of chapter 4 of Proverbs. Verse 1 of chapter 4 of Proverbs. And again, this is a book of wisdom. And when you read and study the book of Proverbs, you find that out. There are a lot of things here that if you follow, you will be blessed of God. He says, "Hear ye, children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said, unto me let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." Verse 5, he says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not," and I believe this is speaking of wisdom, "and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." And so here he's talking about wisdom. And this is what we want in our lives. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but it's also the beginning of wisdom. And when we have the wisdom of God, what we do is we demonstrate it by how we apply the Word of God in our lives. We take the Bible at its word, and we surrender to God, and we say yes to Him. "I'm willing to do what you've called me to do." We have examples of that, left and right in the Bible. Joshua was a good example, as we study him on Wednesday nights. Paul is a good example. Joseph, as you read through the book of Genesis, this past week. Very good example. These folks got the wisdom of God and lived accordingly. And they were blessed. And they went through some difficult times, more difficult than I've ever faced. I mean, Joseph cast in prison, well, sold into slavery, then cast into prison. And yet, when you read the passages, one of the things that stands out is the Lord was with Joseph. Why? Because Joseph had the wisdom of God and he followed God. Solomon is warning us, don't be like me, but put your faith and trust in Christ and get the wisdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We pray you would help each one of us to have this wisdom, understanding that none of us are smarter than you. None of us know more than you. But you have got the knowledge and you've got the wisdom and you want to give it to us freely through the Spirit of God. Father, help each one of us as we study the Word of God to apply the Bible in our lives in a practical way that others may see you. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.